zum nächsten Talk.
Let's get to the next talk.
Ihr kennt das doch sicher, die Werbung von der Sparkasse, die immer so an der Sparkasse klebt mit ihrer Girokarte, ist super sicher.
You probably know the ad of the Sparkasse with
und alles ist
that the Girocard is super secure, but is that really so?
Das wird uns unser nächster Speaker sagen.
That our next speaker will talk about.
Er selber ist Autor von mehreren Büchern über Cybersecurity, Sicherheitsforscher, hat in den frühen Jahren seines Schaffens bei der Internetwache mitgemacht.
He is an Internet researcher.
Einen großen Applaus für Tim Philipp Schäfer. Oh no, Kuno!
Hi and welcome. I'm Tim, and I was lucky or unlucky to lose my girocard, or it was stolen. And that was the beginning that I started to look into how actually locking a girocard works in Germany. So in the talk we will look at some basics, how many thefts we have and which way to pay we have, and then we'll look at the locking mechanisms to understand how secure or unsecure it actually is. So if we look at the statistics on theft in Germany, during Corona we had less, but there are some years where we had over 150,000 thefts, and they are from the police statistics. So if we think about a modern wallet, we have some paper money, and then we have a lot of cards with giro cards and credit cards, and they are both able to to pay contactless. And if we look at how people actually pay when they buy something, 60% are done via cards, and then there are nearly 38% which is paid cash, and then there are some exceptions like other cards or paying later. So this is from the year 2022, because we do not have the current numbers for 2023 yet. So if we look in general at the options to pay, there is that the EC cards are not really used anymore. Even so, it's often called EC card. This is not an EC card. So primarily, we're using Maestro or Giro cards, and this is shown in the blue line. There are other ways to pay. So credit cards are used more and more, because in the with mobile payment they are used, and more and more banks are actually used to pay this. And then there's also the electronic direct debiting, which allows us to do transactions, and we sometimes remember that as paying with signatures, but that also allows us to pay contactless, as we also know it from the normal giro cards. For the end user, often they cannot really understand which payment method they are actually using, but you can look at the receipt, it's mostly noted down there. And otherwise, we can see other effects, so like during Corona, the contactless payment increased. Then there is the regulation. So in the EU, there was something changed to do it in a standardized manner. And we also can see the term Kuno. So if we look at the payment methods in general, we first have the electronic direct debiting, which is 6%, and then Girocard was 41%, which is the most, the greatest part. And then there was some name changes. So maybe you noticed that some cards also just do their cards valid until 2022 because they are planning to change the system then. And as you can see, since 1998, we have the electronic direct debiting, and there's actually something else since 1980.
About 400 hackers were meeting in Hamburg. That the hackers who are expert at hacking into computer systems meet up to exchange tricks. The hackers are practicing the data protection, but mostly their own, of course. They ban all recording devices from their meeting. Anybody from the press will have to pay 50 Deutschmark to enter. Between them, they were exchanging their experiences with computers and other electronic systems. In various work groups, they were working on topics like the phone system, basic knowledge about the computer system, electrical mailboxes, and hacking computers. To improve data protection by breaking protection system is one of the things they see as their calling. Through hands-on experiences, people visiting the conference are encouraged to experiencing data protection themselves. I want to thank the accurate description by the interviewer, and I also want to thank everybody who's organizing it today and still makes it possible. Then we also saw this thing where you saw the sentence about the capabilities and problems of a computer and how you can recognize them yourself, and this is also what we want to do today. So generally there were some interesting findings I was able to make doing this, so that's what we're going to go through. So generally in Germany, if you lose your electronic payment card, you get this special phone number that you can call. It's a special club that was founded 2002, and it's located in Berlin, and you can call it. They say about 1.5 million cards per year, and there's over 1,200 banks that are member of this organization. Every single Sparkasse is a member of it. You can. It's not only limited to bank cards. You can also disable or blacklist other documents, including identification cards, employee cards, other stuff, the important documents. The actual technical backend is provided by a company located in Frankfurt. And we're going to simulate now what will happen when you call there. Welcome to the Cards Disabling Service 116116. If you're a member of the Sparkasse or a similar bank, please press 1. If you're a member of another bank, please press 2. If it's a Maestro or Giro card, please press 1. Welcome to your disabilization service for bank cards. This call might be recorded. To
continue the process, we are required, or you're required to provide us with your card number, and please remember that if you disable your card, all cards for the account will be disabled at once. Credit cards are handled separately. If you want to disable your credit card, please call your credit institute. Please answer with yes or no. Yes. Please tell me your international banking number. Of course, I will not share my IBAN with you, but I think the general principle is clear. As you essentially send through a bunch of voice computers, and you can already tell that it's various different systems, but nevertheless, it's automatic and you're directed to the right banking system in the end. Also interesting is the disabilization app for Android or iOS. If you, very interesting, when you actually start them, you will have to accept special EULA, and you're not able to use it without accepting it. Well, once you actually accepted it, you can see what it can do. So you can use, you can directly disable card in here or call the number through the app. And you have various options, and including a data safe. So, for example, you could already put your card in here. In case you lose it, you already have all the information prepared, and you just really have to press a few buttons. Very interesting is also that they not only have the IBAN in the app, but also the card number itself. This is what the app actually looks like. You put in the IBAN and some additional personal information, and you just press next and move to the app, and that's how it works. But this is how it works.
But what will happen 2023, and we need to support all of the technologies. So there actually is these, the locking fax. So actually, it's also possible to send a fax to 116116, and on the right, in very small, you can see that there's an alternative number if you cannot reach the 116116. So what happens if you lose the card? You can either call, use a app, or use a fax and lock your card. This will send to a server from the group, and then it will be sent to the to your bank account. And later on, if we get a new card that only the new card should be working, and therefore the card UID is important. So in general, they assume you have a smartphone and you install the app, and then you can send to the to a certain URL report stuff. And if you look at to the app a little bit more, you can see that it's connecting to a certain URL where you have APIs, and maybe you can try that on your computer, where you can also intersect some traffic, and then you might be able to access the endpoints directly. And you can also send an IBAN there directly. So let's assume we have a malicious intent here, and we can do a mass locking by just sending out IBANs to the API, and then it will be transmitted to the bank accounts. And so maybe If some data of that gets public, you can actually produce a lot of problems there. So even so, some of the banks might have mechanisms that we have. If we receive 100,000 locking requests each hour, that they might not do that. But that might be. It's not our goal, but we might. We can lock our card. So everything's fine, but not because there are reports that people could still access the cards, even so they had requested the locking of the card. So why did that happen? Because only the classic card giro payment is locked and not all of the locking mechanisms. So you now need to do a Kuno request, Kuno locking request. So what's Kuno? Is it an elephant? Is it a panda beer? No, it's the Kuno locking system. After the she noticed the portmoney, the wallet is stolen, and now she went to the bank account and had the cards locked, and then she thought it's done. But 2 months later, she notes that people are using her bank account, and so even so, it's locked. Someone is buying stuff with her card. She goes to the police and reports it, and here she hears that the locking at the bank is not enough. And that was a huge shock. She didn't thought that I didn't thought that they can still use the cards, even so I had it locked. That was a mistake because even so, payment with just signatures can still be used, even so the payment with a PIN is locked. And since the traders are choosing that, the other one is still used. So if the customer pays with a signature, the bank is not checking because his signature is the allowance that the bank will later on pay. So if a card is locked, that's only locked for the PIN payment method. And the direct debiting, the bank doesn't care. So it's a security gap here. The bank are more interested in the PIN payment method, and the other one is not so much. The banks are not so much interested in, and they take into account that the customer has a problem there. So some even locked. So paying with the signature of other people is quite easy, and to close that gap, the traders and the police are actually developed a new locking system. You can register your card at the police, and if later on someone tries to pay in a trader, this will show up in the with a trader when someone is trying to pay. In both cases, the customer needs to go to the police.
There are situations where criminals exploit the situation. They will specifically request direct debit so that they can exploit this loophole. There are also databases where you can get this information. At some payment machines, you can choose the payment method, including direct debit. We hear that the Kuno system from the police and the shops is run by.
This is the website of Kuno.
Sind Sie auf der sicheren Seite? Wie sicher diese Seite ist, gucken wir uns gleich noch mal etwas stärker an.
Where they advertise that you're on the safe side with Kuno.
Weil wir wissen jetzt, es ist kein Elefant, es ist kein Panda, sondern
what does Kuno mean? It's an abbreviation for
Zahlungsverkehr durch Nutzung nicht polizeilicher Organisationen.
Criminal. So what it literally means, it's fighting crime in a non-cash payment system by using non-police systems. So here we have the logo. You can see what really happens in the Kuno system is that the data is put in a special locking system with different non-police organizations, as mentioned in the name. And it comes from the realization that the banks no longer provide this information to actual stores, and it was first introduced in 2001. It was extended in 2004 by the inner ministers and its employees. There's 120,000 locking events a year, and how it actually works we'll get in a second. Some of the promises it brings is that you're on a safe side with it. Additionally, it also claims Minister Schönbohm also mentioned that Kuno is an addition to security in our country, and that it protects us from a certain kind of fraud. The Handelsbank also said that this is the effective way to block your cards. So it is actually true, though, that the system had a big effect. As you can see, the actual fraud with signature that's highlighted in the blue line has actually been gone down since the introduction. And you see in 2005 it was extended. The line has been continuous. The numbers have continuously been decreasing. If you actually look at the functionality, what happens, the police, it all starts with you going to the police. The police then actually submits all this information to the Kuno system. So that includes IBAN or back in the day the account number. All of this will then be put into a special file or a database that is then applied or transferred onto the actual payment system that are used by inside of stores or commerce in general. So when somebody is trying to use some of these cards that are marked lost or stolen, the actual terminal will deny the translation. And another very interesting part is that there's a so-called self-service that allows the customer itself to use the system to unlock newer cards once you get a replacement card, for example. And you can also see that there are actually three states that haven't participated in the service. I couldn't find out yet why, but maybe they don't know much about security or know too much about it.
So we saw 116, to block the card, and then we contact Kuno to disable the card there. But that's still not completely sufficient. I wrote a 32-page report about Kuno.
Einige Auszüge einmal an. Grundsätzlich, wenn man über ein System stolpert, ist man natürlich in der Lage, sowas im Portscan durchzuführen.
So when you inspect a system, you can do a port scan and you can see what applications are running on there, what's open on the network there. So we found a web port where management interface is running on the port 1000. 8172, that was a Microsoft service.
Sprich, da ist man in der Lage, mit User ein Passwort, mehr oder weniger Admin, Ausrollung vorzunehmen.
Where you can log in as an admin with a username and password.
Ist nicht so ganz schön, das irgendwie so ins Internet zu stellen, aber eher eine Medienverein, sag ich mal, wo man sagen würde, hey, stellt da doch mal irgendwas vor. Im Rahmen der Recherchen habe ich dann mal versucht zu ermitteln, ist das eigentlich irgendwie ein Einzelfall.
As part of this,
okay. Dann bin ich auf so einen Stack Overflow.
So I checked out what I can find about that and on a Stack Overflow I found something like a security review and so there is a allow list. That would be nice if we can just close it down, if we can limit access. So there are questions on Stack Overflow. And the answer is very interesting because the people opened up a case with Microsoft and Microsoft just says there is a compatibility problem and they need to have that. So there was a fix with new research group and just adding up more of these services. So basically, have you tried it on and off and on, off again until it's fixed and solved? But we could of course just configure a firewall in Azure so that that solves the problem, but that one you have to pay for. So next one we noticed very early that there are Google fonts, and if you load the page without doing anything more, a lot of Google fonts are loaded from the Google servers, and remember that the police is also using that page. So if whenever you talk to the police, they do a request to Google with the explicit cookie banner. Well, in general, last year there was a decision by the judges that this is against the law because you didn't consent for that. Well, at least the developers, they just deleted the Google fonts, and so there still is a comment that which says Google fonts, even so they're not using it anymore. So it's an artifact of history. So the cookie banner is questionable. You can see it below down there. What's also interesting, maybe it's from JavaScript, there's a coding error, and if you'd read it, it just generates some visible things on the page, and if you click on it, it's just gone. And actually, a cookie banner should do, they should prevent anything from being loaded before you have consented. So if you look at the first line, and I googled that, and the first and the third one are pretty clear that 5 years ago people already complained that this is not compliant with GDPR and you cannot use it in that way. Also on GitHub you can see another comment that this is not legally valid and it's linking to Reuters. What's interesting is these comments also existed when Google was implementing it, but I don't know why they did, but checking out on archive.org, the Wayback Machine, I found out that it was also already doing this some years ago, so I reported it. And now going back to security, there is a contact page where you can put in your locking receipt number, and that's it's basically comparable with someone asking you to giving your password for getting help. So So you just don't do it in that way.
This is generally a problem because it is kind of breaking some of the principles as well with who, especially because the police is supposed to use this, it's kind of mixing the authorization of the user that got his card stolen and police officer. So what is this actual number? Well, it is an actual number you receive when you create the request to block a card. It's a special password that you receive. The police generally has access to this too, which can be maybe questionable because in theory it should just be for you. The other interesting part is now that it's just a five-digit number, and that might not be very secure, especially if a card is stolen. You already have the IBAN, and a five-digit number might be a bit short. I was a bit confused, and of course I thought, oh, I'm sure there's a rate limit on the server, so I ran my intercepting proxy again, and I was just replacing the number and see what happens if I maybe can brute force the number. And you can see here, I'm iterating through all the numbers. And you can see I can do about 10 requests per second, and as you can see, ta-da, I was actually able to brute force it. As you can see here, the ID is a bit shorter. That is a sign that this was successful because the response looks a bit different when you use the right number. So as you can see, that's not very good. All right, now we're ready to log in. So let's pretend we're a thief or a fraudster. We stole a card, and it turns out it was blocked. So then we brute force the script, and now we logged in. And as you can see, now we can unlock the card, and here are some of the reasons why you could unlock a card. For example, I tapped in the wrong number, or I received the card again after being stolen. So here you can actually unlock the cards again. Also, very interesting, there's also a checkbox. As you can see, also very interesting, it asks you to agree that this is your card, but there's also type in here, so you might actually not be allowed to press this. Well, now, how long does it take? It takes up to 24 hours to actually be unlocked on the device. Now, that's, of course, already interesting, but how could we extend then? As we know now, you can just take an IBAN number and brute force these pins. Now, another very interesting thing, if you know that the IBAN in German is 22 digits long, the front is very predictable because it's by bank, so they're quite repetitive. And additionally, also the bank numbers in the back follow a certain number. And the interesting thing is, it would be quite feasible to use this kind of information to brute force the number as well, and use the database to figure out which kind of cards exist or which kind of cards are least in the system and that they're locked. So very interesting. Another very interesting thing, here's the price list. What does it cost to do a Kuno check? It actually turns out that it's 5 to 9 cents for every request. I thought maybe that might be a business model. Maybe I'll just start doing these checks and charging for it. But maybe rather not. Then I also looked at the actual data protection law. Here's some different versions. And the interesting, the first one was talking about personal identity information is any information that's saved together with data of the person, but that is actually wrong. That's not how that worked. So that was very weird. Also very interesting or important to note is that it says that they no longer sell the data to third party. In the new version, for some reason, it was removed. And they said, no, we didn't remove it, just reformulated it. As you can see, a previous set, we are not saying third person, people, the third party, not just something very similar. Another very interesting thing, I found out that you can, that there's a fixed price of 1,200 euros that would allow you to do unlimited amount of Kuno requests. I'm not an expert, but if you pay for a service to receive data, then I would assume that data is being sold for money, but maybe I'm not an expert. If you actually look at the list of companies that use this kind of data, it's very interesting. You find a lot of the companies that you can find in the credit score and related businesses. I also asked Kuno about this, and they promised me that it's not used for this related for credit score or anything like this, but just as an intended purpose. I then went into datenfang.de and tried to use it to get some more information about the actual website. You can see the law here that they use. I used this website to specifically send this to Kuno and figure out what kind of data they use. They firstly said, we can't hand you this. They said, no, we can't give you this data. You'll have to have the special secret code that they use for locking cards. But we already established that this is not really secure and that these can be brute forced.
The next interesting response I received just a couple of days ago, they are reasoning there for 120 euros you can sign up and be connected, and we're not selling data, but they say they don't want to tell us to which traders are actually connected to the systems. And so we tell you we have data, but we cannot tell you for security reasons. But they also sent out a sticker, and every trader can put that on their cash machines. But so they sometimes want to inform people, sometimes not. So I now want to ask the people in this room, what's more important, the security reasons they're claiming or the the second question, who thinks that the employers should give out the information for data? A lot of offhand there. So maybe I'll ask someone who's responsible to take care of the... And there's more to discover. So we have an admin portal. I don't know how they do it, how the police logs in there, because they went into a second room. I would be interested to learn how they get their password. I hope it's not sent out via post, and I hope there's maybe a second factor and not just a simple password. So if you know more, just contact me, please. And the sending out of the locking data, I'd be also interested to know whether it's signed and protected and in what way does it stand. There are a couple of more little problems. It's just HTTP, it's not HTTPS, there's a lot of outdated libraries, a lot of things that are not so nice. There's another, I changed the logo a little bit, a Giro Day logo. So you can go to giroday.de and read the report. Not to be confused with Zero Day. And you can, if you are interested in what gaps or vulnerabilities we found, and we have another sticker here. It's also designed. You can find it on the website if you want to bring it to the traders. Both thanks to the IJI and Handelsverband Deutschland. They did professionally work with all these reports, and they also work very quick into fixing the vulnerabilities.
Then a little fun fact, how transactions are recorded. This is a type of payment, terminal ID, date, time, authorization and card follow number. With Kuno, you should supposed to specify the card follow number that the new card can still be used, but the others can be blocked.
Beziehungsweise seid ihr einfach dauerhaft gesperrt. Also bitte nicht 10-mal die Karte verlieren
oder dann müsst ihr die Nummern wechseln. But since it's only one digit, you can only use that process 10 times.
Interessante Vision oder Forderung, weil ich finde es ziemlich uncool, dass es eigentlich zwei Systeme gibt und dass sie sich irgendwie an zwei Stellen wenden müssen. Wir haben im Videobeitrag
it's also suboptimal that there are two separate systems and citizens have to contact two different points of contacts, which most people don't even know about. Would be nice to have a central point of contact where you can block all methods of payments. All of that should be transparent and reproducible, ideally open source. The financing should be transparent. If it's only the retailers or also other parties involved, and it should be secure and audible. Call to action for you guys. Inform yourself so that all methods of payment can be blocked. Let's work towards
So the Wikipedia article sounds very nice about the Kudo locking system. I'm not sure who has written that, but so here is a Facepalm selfie from another congress, so thanks everyone for joining us. Thanks for listening to the English translation of Kuno unlocking locked Giro cards at the 37C3. Your translators were Snow, Cloyoside and Kusra. We appreciate your feedback. Please email us at hello@33duolingo.org or use the hashtag C3T on Twitter. Of course, we will also now translate the Q&A. Do we have questions from the internet?
Also die eine Frage aus dem Internet war,
yes, hello. The first question from the internet is about the European payment systems and do they use the direct debit crediting? Is it done by Kuno? Kuno is a German system and only sought for German Girocards. It's not international. And this, they also sent me via the data request I sent out. It's only for German traders. It's only for Germany. Is it done internationally in general? Yes, there are a lot of locking systems. My focus was for Germany, and I'd need to look it up if we have comparable systems internationally.
Ach so, eine Kleinigkeit noch.
One more thing.
Wenn sich Frauen melden möchten, lasst sie bitte an den Mikrofon
vor. If women have an question, please let them go to the front of the line.
Number two.
Ist das eigentlich eine andere Lastschrift als die übliche Lastschrift? Kann man da nicht einfach widersprechen innerhalb von 12 Monaten?
Is that different from the regular direct debit process? Can't you charge that back?
Sachen vom Konto abgebucht werden, Dinge zurückbuchen, das ist richtig.
You can charge back within 8 weeks.
Wie im TV-Wahlkampf gesehen, sehr viel Ärger, sehr viel Zeit, die man darauf verschwendet, seine Gelder da irgendwie wiederzuholen. Aber ja, das ist in dem Sinne ein Händlerproblem, weil es korrekt ist, dass die Ware, wenn sie denn mit betrügerischen Absichten gekauft wird, dann den Laden verlassen würde. Der Schaden, wenn man das
the problem is, if it's
buchen würde, liegt dann
if so goods were bought with malicious interest,
falls das Geld irgendwie zwischendurch abgehoben worden ist.
Number one, please. Number one, please. Yeah. You said that you, with NMEM, scans the domain. Is that just possible, or do we need to be careful? Yeah, one always should be careful, whatever one does. One can still just try it. I think some ports are still open.
Number two, please.
Number two, please. This is a follow-up question for just requesting the debit, direct debiting back, and we're speaking about a couple of 100,000 card lockings a day, where the banks are not interested in just transmitting the locking data themselves to sending that out to the CUNA system. Yeah, they actually did that earlier, but they don't really like the banks don't really like the direct debiting because they don't earn money with that. They earn more money if you do it with a giro payment, and they earn money with the giro payment, so they're interested in not having the direct debiting at all. So they're interested in this isn't really great for the customers or for the traders, but it's
one question from the internet, please.
Oder wie hoch der Anteil im Handel ist, die Kunden nutzen, so.
Da gibt es Artikel. Do you know how many retailers are using Kona?
Wobei mir da ein bisschen unklar geblieben ist, ob das
die Händler sind. It's supposedly 90% of retailers.
Das elektronische Lastschriftverfahren nutzen. Wir haben ja die Statistiken
gesehen. But it's unclear if it includes retailers that use electronic payment.
Und doch auch eine Lastschrift, die dort stattfindet.
It's sometimes unclear when you pay contactless if it's a direct debit in the background or not.
Meine Daten da quasi weitergegeben worden sind, weiß ich de facto gerade nicht. Ich werde aber dranbleiben, sofern ich herausfinde, welche Unternehmen diese Daten
I will keep researching that.
Auch wie viele das nutzen in dem Sinne, ja.
An Mikro 1, bitte.
Ja, danke. Number one, please.
Also zum einen ist die Frage, die ich habe, gilt es auch für die Girocard Digital, was du jetzt getestet hast?
Is it also true for the Girocard Digital?
Apple Pay, Google Pay, Pendant?
Like the Apple Pay equivalent?
Ich sag mal, kommt darauf an, weil die ja teilweise Bundle-Funktionen haben, also teilweise sogar auch Kreditkartenfunktionen so ein bisschen.
That depends, because it's bundled with credit cards sometimes.
Weil die klassischen Maestro-Karten quasi abgekündigt werden. Grundsätzlich, wenn die Lastschrift können, ist das aber auch so, ja.
Basically, if they use direct debit, they are affected.
Aus dem Chip oder aus dem Manierstreifen, okay, welche Bankverbindung ist denn das? Und dann wird da ein Lastschriftmandat drauf aufgeführt, ja.
They read the chip.
Nummer zwei, bitte.
Number two.
Ich wollte kurz fragen, ob man nicht allgemein, oder ob es Sinn machen würde, dass man allgemein die Zahlungen mit Unterschrift sperrt.
Would it make sense generally to block all payments with signature?
Genau, man kann mehrere Gründe haben. Zum einen ist es so, dass man beispielsweise dann die Möglichkeit hat, per Lastschrift oder Unterschrift zu bezahlen, wenn man beispielsweise ganz oft in den Laden da war, weil die steigen dann von dem sicheren Verfahren eher auf das unsichere Verfahren rück. So ein gewisser Trust-Faktor ist dabei. So
what you can do if you,
Läden, die das sehr stark noch einsetzen,
if you, bist du da also nicht if you personally pay at the shop,
und bekommst gar nicht mit, dass das eigentlich eine Lastschrift ist. Es gibt immer wieder Debatten, das Lastschriftverfahren grundsätzlich abzuschaffen, weil es als relativ unsicher ist.
Yeah, this is a good comment. Generally, you should know, you might have noticed if you go to the same store that some stores still do downgrade the security of your purchase because you've been there multiple times. With contactless, it might also happen automatically without knowing. There's also, next question, so there are also other systems to block cards if you're actually insolvent. Do you know anything about that system? Do you know if that is actually something retail cares about or that could be dangerous for retail? That's a very interesting question. Indeed, that is something I probably should look into. I can't answer it right now because I just don't happen to know. Also, if the same system is being used, could you actually use the system to figure out who is insolvent? Yes, and generally, yes, that is true. This information is somewhat available, so if the same system is used, that would be the case. And we also could find out that some rather odd companies that are in the business of credit score receive this data. In theory, legally, that should not be allowed, but yeah, we know that that's not always being followed. Are there any questions from the internet? Yeah. Do you know if there are banks that do not deport a debit transaction to begin with? Yeah, very interesting. I actually don't know. As we just noticed, you actually can't opt out of the system without Kunu. But as far as I know, it's actually not possible to disable the systems specifically. Maybe there's a way to just use a very modern credit card that just has the more advanced system available to it. But once again, as far as I know, that's not possible. A question from microphone one. Hello. I had my account for about 25 years. It's probably my fifth card. So does that mean in another 25 years, I'm probably run out of cards and then I will not be able to use it anymore? Yes, that is true. It sounds like you have an end date for your account, and I really hope for you, you don't need to replace your card that often, that you can keep using card. Number two, please. Have you actually checked the security of the app itself? The do you mean the 116 app itself? Yes. Yes, that's. I looked at it. It has some security mechanism inside of it. It looks all plausible, and it looks pretty good. The most of it goes to special server systems, and you could do port scans there. Looking at it, I don't want to talk about it too much because there's a lot of space for mischief. Okay. Okay, just a quick question. Why do you think on the scan UTMP port was open? Well, I'm not sure. I don't know for sure. I looked at a few ports. If you're interested, maybe provide me some feedback. In my opinion, some of these ports should not be open at all, so there's clearly space for optimization. Hello, thank you for the nice talk. You mentioned that when we switch from EC to the Giro card, and you mentioned that there will be a new system. Yes, there will be a new system, and there'll be some customer batching. In Germany, cards are Giro cards. Within Germany, they're kind of bind together. And when you go into the European space, you'll use a MasterCard, which is run by Visa. So in the future, Maestro is going to be deprecated, so in the future I'll probably bundled with Visa or MasterCard in the future, but MasterCard will no longer be supported in 2027. Thank you. Last question, microphone one. I would have a nice ID for DDoS attack. Because based on other information, I happen to know that an end device that uses the debit payment system, if you actually just lock your card regularly and then actually have a debit, a fraudulent debit purchase, then if that happens a lot, then the actual merchant will have to explain itself to the bank itself why there have been so many fraudulent transactions processed through its terminals. What do you think in your experience? What's your experience this and what do you think about that? Of course, I have some ideas, but this sounds very malicious, so I probably won't share my thoughts on this. You also showed that Kuno was hosted at Azure. Don't you think that is problematic? Is there anything mentioned in the data protection EULA? Indeed, that is problematic. Now that I think about it, indeed, Microsoft is an international US company, so this could indeed be problematic as well.
Einen herzlichen Dank, Tim Philipp Schäfers. Einen großen Applaus, bitte.
Thank you. Applause.